To continue then, from sensation in body, acting independently of mind, to Christian science, where mind and body are one. This is the topic there on page 370 as we get near the bottom of the page. No point, therefore, line 32, in physicians examining physical organs. That's to say, examining matter conditions if in fact all, uncapitalized, is mind, capitalized. Mortal body, line 2, is but the substratum of mortal mind. That's to say, it is mortal mind at its apparently unconscious level. Substratum, from under plus lying. You know, it's like the relation in the garden of the subsoil to the topsoil, isn't it? So the relation of body as matter to mind is that of so-called unconscious mind to conscious mind. And therefore, mortal mind and matter are both mortal mind, which must yield, says the text, line 3 and 4, to the mandate of immortal mind. Ignorantly diagnosing disease is for the adult, says the text, lines 6 to 7, like telling ghost stories to children in the dark. Why? Because matter, outside of mind, is just a ghost. Well, it's literally spirit disembodied, dismembered, isn't it? Now on to line 7. Instruction in Christian science reveals that involuntary mortal birth and involuntary mortal death, neither of which mortals consent, are imaginary ghosts. Therefore, let such instruction take us out of all this ghostly darkness and ignorance. And the way out is the way in divine science. The way out is the way in. Line 18, where God and man, mind and body, divine and human, are not cut up into two, but are one. So that what Christian science instructs us in is the way in divine science. What Christian science instructs us in is the way in divine science. Now line 20 continues the symbolism of the infant in relation to the adult. Man, that's the adult, is Christian science itself, every whit whole, subjective. The infant is Christian science instruction, unfolding, as it were, whit by whit by whit, objectively, until the subjective is reached. So that in this way the infant gets transformed into a man. And all this is typical of mankind improving through science and Christianity, that is, through science as the letter of Christian science and Christianity as its spirit. And it's in this way That, says the text, 27 to 28, mind uplifts the race. Well, truth, which we know to be the divine system, every whit whole, acts as an alterative, therefore, in the entire human system, 31, and makes it every whit whole. That's, of course, the phenomenon of healing. Therefore, all there is to the human system is really truth itself in its health or wholeness, never broken up into a conscious mind here and unconscious matter there. Now, page 372, which means that what we are engaged with is the science of being. Science of being, little b, line 8. Mind knows, that's science, what all, everything, is being. Namely, mind itself and its own embodiment. Mind in matter, lines 1 to 3, or two planes of consciousness, would be the opposite of all that, and would really be brain and its body in contrast to mind and its body. Matter is not, therefore, the medium of man, lines 10 and 11. If it were, man would be bound in his own embodied thought. Mind would be bound in a mortal body. Now, this next part is very illuminating. What you call matter, line 5, in which your mind is supposedly bound, is fundamentally, says the text, error in solution. Elementary mortal mind. The mythology of chaos, an old night, of consciousness supposedly separated from unconsciousness, or mind from matter, in the symbolism of chemistry, for example, this would be mortal mind as a solution, depositing matter as a precipitation. See, the word precipitate, not actually used in the text here, is from to fall headlong. And that, in metaphysics, is, of course, headlong human will. How art thou fallen, precipitated from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And so mortal minds, elementary material sensations, are supposed to precipitate matter, or to reproduce man in the form, on line 8, of blood, flesh, and bones. Now, at this point in the text, to counter all this mythological ghost stuff, the text moves to the proposition of absolute Christian science, line 14, in which there's no dualism of mind and matter. As we know now, man demonstrates that Christian science is absolute at the point of the resurrection. There, the entire mortal birth-death cycle taking place mythologically outside of God is proved to be wholly a myth or a ghost. Jesus' words, man is found to be as the angels in heaven, 9:17, not outside, neither marrying nor being given in marriage, remember, no mind marrying itself to matter, and no matter being given in marriage to mind. Hence, no mortal mind, no male-female sensations producing man in the form of blood, flesh, bones. Fundamentally, line 17-18, it's Christian science and Christianity which are one in spiritual wedlock, not the male-female of mortality. Christian science is the absolute science of Christianity. When Christianity, accentuating the spirit or womanhood, is wedded to science, accentuating the letter, manhood, there's no dualism of truth and error, spirit and matter. Because what this is the absolute itself. Therefore, line 25, do not deny me before men. It's fatal, line 27, to deny Christian science's absoluteness in deference to dualistic mortality. If you do, then mythologically, you're outside of God, and therefore deny by my Father which is in heaven. Nothing really benefits us. See the marginal heading there, recognition of benefits. Nothing heals but the absolute truth that we were never mortal, never put outside of God. Therefore, acknowledge absolute truth, 9:28. To believe there is an absolute which applies itself relatively to a realm outside itself where I, man, am temporally dwelling, it's error. It's just not true. And therefore in Christianity, because its science is absolute, moral and physical healing are one. Lines 1 and 2 of 373. Yet because of human darkness and ignorance, it's easier at this stage to cure disease than it is to cure sin. 9:5 and 6, mortals want to be healed of disease, pain in matter, but not of sin, pleasure in matter. Mortals can be healed of sickness where the accent seems to be on this 12th chapter. But they've got to be taught their way out of sin. And there it would seem that the accent is on the next 13th chapter, where we shall find over and over again the insistence is on the need for morals and ethics, teaching mortals the way out of sin. Therefore, says the text, line 12 here on 373, healing is easier than teaching, if the teaching is faithfully done. Man's enslavement, line 15, is thus twofold: his fear of disease and his love of sin. But because perfect, that is absolute, love casts out fear, the same absolute love frees from both fear of disease and love of sin. To fear to love sin is the beginning of wisdom, text shows us on line 16. Now we are shown how bodily functions express disease, whereas the lips, suggestive, doubtless of the talking serpent or mental malpractice, isn't it, express sin. The scientific sense of health, line 23, is really body functioning as one whole body, not an assemblage of organs that can get into discordant relationships one with another. Oh, how important that is. Because this is the truth that relieves any seemingly oppressed organ, line 24, causing its inflammation, its decomposition, its deposit to abate. Inflammation resulting from some form of warfare or strife, decomposition resulting from breakup and disorder in some form or other, and deposit, the consequent fall to an apparent position outside the workings of the whole. Yes. So causing inflammation, decomposition, and deposit to abate. Well, after that, there begins on line 27 the first of several treatises on temperature, extremes of heat and cold. When mind circulates blood, marginal heading there, there can be no blood pressure, no such thing as life that can be oppressed. The flow of blood through what appears to be pressurizing veins or channels can be either too quick, causing heat, or too slow, causing cold. But because both states are produced by the same mortal mind, both can be changed by the same mental, not physical, means. Line 31. Over to 374, body then functions normally in the way that mortal mind decides is essential for health. Lines 1 and 2. Whispering the truth of being. Line 3. Into the ear of mortal mind that man now is not a battleground for conflicting beliefs. This reduces inflammation. Reduces it scientifically, that's to say, which anodynes fail to do. Mental hatred, line 5, affecting the body with physical disease, is removed, the text shows, by the mind which is love. And why? Because, of course, mortal mind, not matter, is the cause of disease. Human belief, which is, of course, mental, is the unconscious source of disease. Body, the objective state of mortal mind, 12 to 13, though called matter, is where disease appears consciously. Well, all this is, of course, mortal blindness. Line 13 and its antidote is, now this great term, divine metaphysics. So, don't be ignorant. Line 17. Don't be ignorant of the mental cause and mental origin of physical disease. Don't confess to ignorance of the future. Line 19. Because your real mind knows the past, the present, and the future all at once. Thirdly, don't be ignorant of your, that is, mind's capacity to preserve your existence from disease and so on and so on. In other words, free yourself from belief in danger, darkness, fear. Line 23. Now, in just the same way, temperature is mental. Marginal heading, line 28. Heat and cold are products of mortal mind. Heat, of course, relates to mortal life. Cold relates to mortal death. Yet nothing that lives ever dies. 29. And nothing that dies ever really lives. Now the word temperature, we find, is from the same root as temper, temperate and temperament. Because the need clearly is that the temperament, our temperament, should be properly balanced. That's to say, be a temperate state of consciousness. Be free from the self-destroying extremes of animal heat and cold produced by mortal mind. 9:30 and over to 3:75, where we find that heat, inflammation, and pain would then pass from the body like gas, dissipating into the air without the body dying. Chills and heat as forms of fear manifest fever, line 6. But this is a mental state, line 7. And when it's changed, the fever disappears. Now, because everything, therefore, is wholly mental, what we are basically concerned with, we see now, is the all-important subject of science on the one hand versus hypnotism on the other. See the marginal heading there, line 9. What is really psychology as the science of spirit, as we had a little while ago, we're now considering in contrast to ordinary mortal mind psychology. All right. Well, the word hypnosis does, of course, mean sleep. Remember how the Lord God Jehovah put Adam into a deep hypnotic sleep in which he dreamed his identity was divided into an Adam and an Eve, subject and object too. Mortal mind and matter, involving in turn two levels of consciousness, one conscious, the other unconscious. So first of all, the hypnotist, who, the text says, dispossesses his patient of his individuality, lines 12 to 13, that is, of his normal state of self-control, derives basically from his indivisibility from God. He does this by putting him to sleep, and controlling him involuntarily, unconsciously. Now this, of course, is mental despotism, the work of malicious mental malpractice in which the conscious mind of the hypnotist is in rapport, presumably, with the so-called collective unconscious, and it dictates to the unconscious level of the mind of his subject with a view to healing him. But such mental activity is, of course, wholly unknown to truth, and therefore is part and parcel of the general hypnosis of the mythological Adam dream. But in the case of the Christian Scientists, on the other hand, the healing activity of the divine mind is at work. And here the patient is given his individuality, his undividedness and wholeness, not deprived of it. And therefore he controls himself voluntarily, consciously, or rather he's controlled by the mind, which is God, which is necessarily also the mind of the practitioner. Hence the patient's restoration to health, mentally, morally, spiritually, physically, lines 18 to 20, which is, of course, genuine scientific mental practice. So from contrasting the work of the hypnotist and the work of the Christian Scientist, the text then instructs us about the cure for palsy. That marginal heading, line 22. The fact is that the body of one supreme whole mind is not divided into portions, that's for example muscles, that can become motionless while the rest of the body remains in motion. The whole being in motion interdependently all at once, this cures the palsy. And then consumption, line 26, regarded at one time as a fatal disease. With consumption, a deep, excessive, unconscious fear seems to come to the surface of thought and take the form of the opposite of fear, that is, as courage and fortitude. Well, we know what it is that consumes, and, of course, it's fire that consumes. And therefore, what we need to understand is that there's no such thing as a deep, unconscious, unknown hell fire, or, if you like, hell fear, which has taken the form of hidden, undefined, insidious beliefs. Over to 376, line 9, as some great sin which is subtle and self-deceived. Because life is spirit, line 12, there's no consumption of the blood, no burning up of life. Life is not expendable matter, life does not waste away, line 10. Life and immortality are made manifest as good motives and acts, we read, not as blood flowing through mortal veins and simulating a corporeal sense of life, 14 to 16. So again on line 18 we are told that material body is a mental concept, governed by and manifesting only what so-called mortal mind believes. We must therefore turn to mind science, line 27, to counter this. Mind knows, that's its science, that, for example, its body contains no fever which has a course to run, all that has got to be checked. At the bottom there, 29 to 30. And therefore, as we turn over to 377 line 5, the text tells us we should rejoice always in ever-present love and cease to believe, for example, that matter can take cold. And do in ever-present love, there's no cold, no death, therefore no such thing as grief. And therefore it is that climate is harmless. In the margin line 8. Only one climate in Christian Science, line 9, and that's the climate of ever-present love, from which it's impossible to flee away and then return to. And therefore, exterminate fear of climates. Lines 10 to 11. Don't flee to tropical climates to be healed of something and then come back again no better. So the word climate, it's defined as a condition of the weather. Temperature, wind, rain, heat, cold, etc. But it's also defined as the intellectual qualities making up the climate of a community. Well, different climates are really different states of mind, line 12, that determine different states of body. Because belief originates unseen, line 10, in the lower so-called mind, watch your mental states. Watch your mental state. Watch your mental climate in order to prevent anything untoward from originating. You see, your God mind, down to line 28, is not helpless to defend and control your life, because this life, uncapitalized, is your mind's own indestructible life. So what truly are our circumstances? Very interesting word, line 30. That's to say, what really is it that encircles us? What are the conditions of our environment? What is our mental climate? Line 1. Well, in the first place, don't sentence yourself to suffer. Line 4, by blaming outside circumstances, the sickness. Mind controls what encircles us, stands around us, constitutes the conditions of our environment, is our one God mind. Meet every circumstance, therefore, with the truth of mind which controls disease. Down to line 16, in this way, you will look the beast of disease fearlessly in the eye, and cause it to retreat in terror. A man's gaze, line 14, that's not something other than the gaze of the mind which is truth. And this constitutes the power of truth over error. Truth is the power of the mind of man. The might of intelligence, whereas hypnotism, etc., is, line 19, one animal looking another in the eye and causing both to fight for supremacy. Mind enthroned in its own empire, 22-23, holding the government of this empire in its own hands, is what truly surrounds us. Our true God mind. Mind's empire is, of course, mind's body, which no outside intelligence or power can dispute or conquer. This mind being life, 927, life cannot be disabled by matter outside of itself. Disease is not a self-constituted material power capable of conquering mind. 379, line 1, mind's empire. Not line 1 in the first paragraph there. Mind's empire is the real world, which is therefore under mind's jurisdiction and control. All cause, all effect vested in this mind. Which means to say that the two partners, sin and disease, cannot attack and control the body. That's line 1. And so what we're learning about, line 19, is life as taught in Christian Science. Man's life, the world's life, is the one life, flowing, circulating uninterruptedly within itself, never flowing and wasting away outside itself, such as was believed by the felon when the Oxford boys poured water down his arm and he imagined that he was dying from loss of blood. Because all this is simply illustrating the power of the imagination, in the marginal heading, line 11. Imagination, as when mental images drawn on the body by a disturbed mind frighten conscious thought, line 29. And therefore don't be receptive to a fever picture drawn by millions of mortals of which you are unconscious, that can be imaged on the individual body through the belief that mind is in matter. Over to 380. If you do, you may become a fatal fever case that must then be conquered by life. Line 4. The life which is truth, because truth is always the victor. Why is truth the victor? Because the text says truth is a living rock whose wholeness cannot be disintegrated, but which itself grinds to powder every error on which it falls. Therefore, lines 10 and 11, don't contend against this control of mind and power of mind to heal the body. Don't be ignorant of the truth that chains the beast of disease. Know that it's already chained by the truth power of mind. Then you don't fear it. But you can look it fearlessly in the eye and prove your dominion over it. Now the original discovery of this healing ability of divine mind, higher than any other scientific discovery in the world. Today, it's gathering momentum and clearness as it reaches its culmination of scientific statement and proof. This should be so, is the law of life, in contrast to laws of matter or body. 9380 down at the bottom. As we turn over to 38011, we see that that, what is at work, is the law of life. This law of life now said to be the law of your God-given rights, freeing us from ignorance or enslavement to biased education. 9s 3 and 4. Be obedient, therefore, to moral and spiritual law. 9:11. And don't fear to infringe the laws of mortal belief legislated by mortal mind. The understanding that soul is immortal, 9:13, destroys these laws of mortal belief. But soul is immortal, not mortal, is this law of life that we're thinking about. The law that man's identity, that soul, is deathless life. Now in this immortality of soul, life is identical with love. 9:17. That individuality and universality, life, love, are one in identity, is the law of soul, which therefore frees us from all barbarous codes. 9:16. And therefore we see that what we are doing in all this is to understand our way out of human theories relating to health. 9:22, in order to be free from ailments. This rule of perpetual harmony, 9:28, which we're being told about, banishes sickness as an outlaw, so that we are not inflicted with unjust sentences coming from outside, an outlaw outside the law of soul. Are we feeling all this multiplicity of healing thought and idea, all weaving themselves into one consistent web of consciousness, which is thereby every whit whole? This is how we can let the text unfold and all the multiplicity of healing thoughts and ideas coalesce and grow together, forming one consistent web of spiritual consciousness. And 31, all physical laws of health and penalties for supposedly transgressing these laws were of course overruled by Christ Jesus. So over to 282, Jesus annulled the inharmonies of the laws of matter, line 1, with the divinely authorized harmonies of spirit. Matter contrasted there with spirit. For us to thus study Christian Science, line 6, in contrast to hygiene, is for us to spiritualize thought and usher in the millennium. What it involves, of course, is taking no thought for the mortal sense of body, but keeping the platter of consciousness clean inside as well as outside. 912. That inside, outside is subject, object, one in identity under the law of soul. It features so much down these pages, doesn't it? So, honor the so-called laws of matter only by breaking them, not by observing them, 918. Don't be booked in medical theories, 919. But receive the kingdom of God as a little child, 23. Just naturally, already within you, because it can't be superimposed from outside. What a glorious principle, line 26, it is, therefore, that Christian Science teaches: the principle of self-reliance, learning one's way, over to 383, line 1, which is the way of the power of mind over body, and so on and so on. 383, the way of mind and body equally clean, the platter clean inside and out. To have a pure body and a pure mind means leaving the mortal sense of body out of thought, 9-9, and this is the only way properly to care for it. Being absent from the belief that body is mortal and present with, indeed present as, mind's own body. That's being present with the Lord, 9-10 and 11. And this being absent from the one and present with the other leads on to the next topic on the page, that of the emigrant and the immigrant. 9-12. Emigrate, therefore, from the false sense of body, and be an immigrant to the body of divine mind. Now, a gross mind, line 14, has no desire to emigrate from impurity to purity, because mind must be clean in order to keep the body in proper condition, line 20. You see, dirt not affecting happiness is like tobacco using, not affecting health. Through all this, body should be insensibly well. Don't pinch it and pound it, therefore, to try to make it sensibly well. Matter is inert, mindless, line 32. Health has to do with mind, which of course is never inert, never insensible. 384, matter seeming to feel and act is really mortal mind, feeling and acting. Whereas basically and in truth, of course, it's immortal mind alone that feels and acts. How does it do this? Through the law of love, line 6, 3, 4, 6. In that it does not penalize us for transgressing material law, does not punish us for deeds of kindness, honest labor, etc., even if these have exposed us to fatigue, heat, cold, or contagion. The law of love enacts only wisdom. 9:11. And therefore, we are back with the topic of weather again. We should learn to control the weather. Now, Mrs. Eddy always demanded this, didn't she, of her household. Practically all the stories about her emphasize this. No diseases should result from exposure to the weather. 9:27. And if we look up the definition of weather in the dictionary, it reads to this effect: state of the air or atmosphere with respect to heat or cold, wetness or dryness, calm or storm, clearness or cloudiness. And the meaning of atmosphere: the mass of air surrounding the earth, sphere of vapor, gaseous envelope, surrounding or pervading influence. Remember in the Science of Being, it was way back there on page 293, under the heading of gases and forces, where gas was seen as a symbol of the all-pervading mind, and material gases and forces as counterfeits of the spiritual forces of divine mind. Do you remember that? So let the atmosphere of mind, with its elements and forces, not those of mortal mind, be the surrounding climatic circumstances of our earth and therefore of our body. In other words, don't be exposed to the forces of mortal mind outside of mind, but live in the weather, the atmosphere, the temperature, the temperament of a spiritually temperate mind. This is our mind remedy, line 19, isn't it? Then no chills, no influenza, no inflammatory rheumatism. Don't believe you've broken a lot of health laws through exposure to the weather. Line 31, the power of mind over the entire functions and organs of the human system is body surrounded spiritually by its own determining mental atmosphere or weather. .385 Take, for example, the philanthropist Florence Nightingale, line 2. Her humane labors, being undertaken without sin, down to line 16, which means, of course, selflessly, she was supported by the divine law above the human. And this supplied her with energy and endurance I need, forestalling penalties which under human law would otherwise have resulted from exposure and sinking fatigues. No suffering, therefore, from toil, deprivations, exposures, if without sin. In italics on line 16. Whatever it's your duty to do, you can do, says the text, without harm to yourself. Now, at this point, it's convenient for us to stop the recording on this first tape of the Christian Science Practice tapes and pick it up again at the beginning of the first side of the next tape. Thank you.